Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight Studios in St. Louis, Missouri, located on the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard over there on the hill. They come out Monday the 12th, September 12th. You can see Tracy Swigert there recording her new record, Monday 8 p.m. to close. And then Sunday, your friends and mine, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, will be there on Sunday the 18th, recording a loft session. So come out to those events. Check out GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And get involved. And come check it out. Book yourself a tour if you haven't been over there. Take a look at what they got going on. They're just a great facility. Some wonderful recordings are coming out of Gaslight right now. There's a lot going on. Check it all out at GaslightSTL.com.
This is Joel Crespo.
And Brian Hardesty.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Civil Life Brewing in St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out with the guys of Gorilla Street Food. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're, might be a little background noise with the music and everything. It's pretty happening down here today, but, it should be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited about this, guys. I've been a fan for a while now. I kind of got on a little late. I was thinking about it on the way down. Like, I think the first time I tried, the food truck was, at the Doug Benson show outside of Firebird.
Okay.
Jeff Tate was a buddy, is a buddy of mine, was out at that show. And he's like, you gotta try this out. And I'm like, alright, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And I think he recommended the Flying Pig.
Yep.
And that's what I started with. And I've been hooked since, man.
So, have you made your way through the menu yet?
You know, I wish I could say I had. I tried a couple of things, but
the flying pig still.
It's so good. So it's hard for me to like venture off too far. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, so that was like, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago or something, probably something like that.
Yes.
But yeah, since then you guys have now have your own. Restaurant in off of Arsenal, right?
Yeah, Arsenal in South Grand, 3559 Arsenal.
Yeah.
For about a year now.
Yeah.
Just about a year.
So that was big news for me. Like, it was just exciting to, you know, I could go there 6 days a week and
exactly.
And get, you know, whatever I want. So.
And a much bigger menu now.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, that was cool. But anyway, let's kind of go back. Well, and, how's this even get going? I know you guys had the truck and things, but you know, where's all that get started for you guys?
Well, really, it's us hanging out after work, you know, just getting together and having a few beers and talking and, you know, what we want to do with our lives, kind of conversations.
People tend to do that in their 30s, I think.
Yeah, and we were at a point where we're like, okay, well, we both want to do something new. And it's either do something together or probably going to, you know, leave town and go do something completely different. So
yeah, Brian's been in the restaurant industry for a long time, but I don't have a restaurant history background. I actually have a degree in like film and television production. So like leading up to deciding to go move forward with the food truck, I was like applying to jobs in LA and New York. I used to live in LA and had worked on some TV shows, and I actually applied for The Walking Dead before. So timing-wise, this is before The Walking Dead premiered. I was a fan of the comic book and then knew that they were making a TV show. So, and I was like, kind of like, man, I got to use my degree again. I spent all this money and all this time going to college and earning it. So I was applying to jobs anywhere and everywhere, Canada, Chicago, New York, L.A. And then
he called me one night and was like, look, man, like, we've been talking about a food truck for a couple of years now, and if we don't move on it, then I'm gonna try to do something else.
Right.
And then probably a couple months later, we had our truck.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was cool.
It does seem like, I mean, I don't know at that time how much
around here trucks were taken off, but it does seem like there's a lot of food trucks going on now. Like,
oh yeah, so we were like the third or maybe the fourth food truck in town, and now there's over 70.
Yeah,
so it's been
yeah. When we heard that, when we had been talking about it for years, and then when we heard the first food truck, I think it was Cha Cha Chow or Pie, of course, and then Cha Cha Chow. We were like, we got to get on it now because it's happening. You know, we'd heard about it happening in other places, and we're like, it's happening now, and if we wait, if we're going to be, like, too late. We didn't, you know what I mean? We wanted to be in at the beginning on the ground level. And we
had lots of ideas on how we could, regardless of what any trucks in town were doing, we kind of knew what we wanted to do and how we wanted to hopefully try and, like, take over and be the best. And so that's how we started out. We started marketing, like, what we were going to do before we even really knew what we were going to do. For, like, 6 months, we were like, hey, we made an announcement like, oh, we're starting Gorilla Street Food, food truck and town people. We had like 1,000 followers on like Twitter before we sold.
Just based on the fact that it was a food truck, like people at the time, it was a hot thing, and I guess people were just searching food trucks, and yeah, and like we got a good spike like right at the beginning, just based on the cool name, I guess, and maybe like a cool logo and that kind of stuff. So,
and it was still at that time a novelty for like a chef in town to do something other than restaurants,
right?
You know, so we got a big kick from that, I think.
Right, and then it's been an interesting like our following over the years has kind of been a mixture of like people who know Brian from other restaurants that he's cooked at the past, so he's kind of has people that know him and would kind of follow him to wherever he'll go. And then we have the Filipinos who are excited that there's some sort of Filipino food, because Filipino restaurants kind of have a history of coming and going, and in St. Louis, a lot of the times they won't last more than a year or two. There's been some in the past that have lasted longer, but they're not around anymore either. So people are excited about that. People are excited about the food truck thing in general. You know, and then just building our following, you know, as far as with making good food and all that stuff. So it's been like a good mixture of things that kind of keep us going and keep our fan base growing. So,
what gets it going to be going the Filipino route?
Really, it was just a conversation. We were like, okay, well, what are we going to do? And we didn't know. We were like, how about this food? How about that? Barbecue, American food. Who knows what we wanted to do? And then we would go back and forth, and nothing really lit the fire under me at all. It was like, you know, okay, well, if we're going to do American food, we're going to be one of hundreds in the city, you know? And then
we kind of set out with this idea, before we even knew what kind of food we were going to serve, to make something. We didn't know what the food truck trend was going to do. Like, we didn't know if it was going to be a fad. We didn't know if it was going to last forever or what. So we were like, whatever we got to do, we got to serve something that you can't get anywhere else. So that if the food truck thing does pass and people kind of lose interest in it, they still have to come to us to get that thing that they can't get anywhere else.
Yeah.
And we can't just rely on the fact that it's a food truck, because like that fad will eventually, that bubble will burst. And so that's where it started. And then,
but really, Joel kind of had some reservations about doing Filipino food because of all the failed Filipino places in town. We're like, well, why do they fail? And we went to a couple of them. We're like, well, you know, this one was kind of bad food, or that one just wasn't open, its hours were bad, or whatever.
I knew that from the history. Like, I've listened to my parents and other people in the Filipino community they can be sometimes very kind of critical, kind of like, oh, I make better chicken adobo than this, or I make whatever better than this. So I knew that we had to appeal to everyone, you know, people who didn't know what Filipino food was. Almost like, which is why our food truck isn't called the Filipino food truck.
Right.
It's like almost like you learn as you are eating our food, and the more that you experience us about Filipino food, that you might go into it not even caring or knowing about Filipino food. And we knew that that had to be the, and we do have a lot of Filipinos that eat at our place. It's just, I knew that we couldn't rely on that. Like, we do have a very regular Filipino fan base, but if you statistically look at our whole demographic, that's a very small portion. I think we cover such a wide range of people that come. We have, you know, young families who are supporting local businesses. You have, you know, foodies. You have, you know, there's all these different things coming together, and some of that is Filipinos. But I knew that it couldn't be like, we're only going to try and make Filipinos happy. I knew that wasn't the way to go.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and Filipinos also have, like, a history of, like, I know my parents and a lot of immigrants, it's not just Filipinos, they don't want to waste food and they don't like throwing things away. And, like, we wanted to make sure that our food was always really good and really fresh and, you know, and had it, we had a certain level of standards, which, you know, I had gone to Filipino places that had existed in the past here, and you could tell that they cut corners, you could tell that stuff wasn't as fresh as it could be, and I thought that that was probably, maybe, my theory was that was part of the reason that, like, it couldn't last, because, you know, you get some, you know, adobo that's been there, like, a day too long or whatever, and it's, like, it's going to turn you off, and you're not going to, it's not going to be memorable, and it's not going to make you want to come back, so.
Yeah, I know, for me, like, as now I'm also in my 30s, like, I've been trying more, you know, different food, just trying to expand my horizon, and I think that was the first time I tried Filipino food, and but even, you know, recently trying, like, sushi and stuff for the first time, and other, you know, other different things besides, you know, the stuff I was
kind of exploring outside of your comfort zone.
Sure. So it's always it was always fun, but is what you guys do, is that pretty traditional?
Well, what we do, so I knew from experience from being a chef in town for years that how to approach food that people aren't familiar with, you know, and that's many different ways, but really it's breaking it down to, instead of, number one, calling it exactly what it is in, you know, in the Philippines, where something would be called a word that nobody's ever heard of, but we'll call it slow roasted pork, and then suddenly I know exactly what you're talking about, you know what I mean?
Right.
I know what an egg is, I know what rice is, sriracha,
yeah.
I don't know what calamansi is, so then we have a talking point, and suddenly you're like, oh, that sounds really good, I'll have one of those, and then a year later, that's the best dish in St. Louis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was just in the approach, really.
Right.
And that we always knew, like, okay, we want to make this food approachable. We want to do our own version of this food so we don't get the Filipinos in there that are like, oh, well, I can make this food better at my house. Well, I'm sure that's the case, but nobody does it like we do it. You know what I mean? And so that's our unique voice, I think.
Yeah, and it's, I think that it's, like, I like to think of, like, our restaurant is, like, being, like, a reflection of us.
Right.
And an expression of ourselves, and, you know, like, I'm Filipino, but I'm also from the Midwest. And I grew up with, you know, Philippine food, but I also grew up with, like, Midwestern, you know, diners and Midwestern, you know, stuff, you know, different things that we like to eat. So, so that's how you come, you know, that's how things like the longanisa corn dog is born. It's like, longanisa is a really traditional Filipino breakfast sausage, and then we serve it in the format of, like, breading, battering it and frying it like a corn dog and serving it with, like, a dipping sauce. And then, so some of it is, some stuff we have is, like, more traditional than others, but it's all, I think we stay true to the flavors and the idea either way. Like, we don't, I always kind of don't like the word fusion because it tends to insinuate that we're kind of, like, watering things down to, like, accommodate, like, a palate that, like, that isn't used to those flavors. But I think we find the universal, you know, through line between all the cuisines, but then also, you know, whether it's American and Filipino or whatever, but we stay true to the Filipino kind of flavors. We're not, like, watering it down or holding back on flavors. You know, we still cook with, like, fish sauce and shrimp paste and all these things that are kind of funky, but we make it and present it in a way that's approachable. So.
And then again, you know, that's totally true, but then we'll do, I'll want to do, like, a super traditional dish, and we'll do it exactly how I've studied how to do it, serve that, and that sells, you know, crazy. It sells so fast. It sells out.
Right.
We do, like, we do dinaguan, which is a Filipino, like, blood stew. So pork blood and liver and pork belly. And you'd think after just hearing those ingredients that wouldn't be something that, you know, would be very popular. Maybe here and there, but every single time we make it, it sells out like an hour later. It's like the most popular. It's crazy. So
and
we give a lot of, like, you know, there's a, our client base is like, they trust us and go, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So we've already established, like, hey, it's okay. Like, what you spend money and you're going to like your food. And then they're like, okay, I'll give you a shot. I'll let you kind of go out of my boundaries. And if I don't like it, I know that you're going to take care of me, which we do. So.
Yeah, so yeah, that's exactly, we build a trust over time. Like, people have run through our regular menu, you know, the chicken adobo and the flying pigs and stuff, which are all pretty approachable, and then you get further down the menu and you have things like dinuguan or something that might be with, like, bitter melon or something that's just unusual, but they're like, all right, you've taken care, you know, we've liked everything we've had from you so far, so I trust, even though I don't understand anything that you just told me, I'll give it a shot, just because.
When people order our fried chicken and they see that there's a mango shrimp sauce on it, they don't usually bat an eye. They're like, okay. Although I know that they don't know what they're buying, really, because they've never had it. They don't probably know what shrimp paste is. And it's funky. It's a funky ingredient. The first time I had it, I was like, first time I looked at it, I looked at Joe, I'm like, dude, this is kind of foul. Like, it stinks and whatever. And he's like, just give it a shot. And he was like, I don't know if everybody's going to like this or whatever. So we made it together. We made this dish. And now that dish is my favorite dish.
And it's also one of our most popular, which is the Bicol Express. It's a very traditional Filipino dish. But it's, like, just a matter of just, like, trusting that it's going to work in the end when it's all done.
Right.
And then, yeah, and so that's the great kind of interactive relationship we've had with our, with, I mean, that was the great thing about the food truck is, like, being accessible to the people. You know, we'd have Filipinos come to our truck early on and be like, have you ever made this dish? And we'd be like, no, but we'll look into it. And then 2 weeks later, it's on our menu because we're like, oh, that sounds really good. That's actually how Bicol Express came about. People kept asking us if there was spicy food, and like, Filipino food isn't it's not like Thai food where it's, like, known for spiciness.
I mean, there's a dish here and there.
Yeah, there's a dish here and there. There's a region maybe where there's more, they use it more, but Philippines is, like, a big, it's, like, 7,000 islands. Yeah. Cuisine varies from region to region. And so I didn't grow up with spicy food at all. And so someone chimed in, like, I think it was on Twitter, and they were like, what about Bicol Express? And I'm like, I have never heard of that dish. I went to my mom, and I was like, what's Bicol Express? And she's like, I've never heard of it either. I looked it up on the internet, found out that it was invented in the 60s, and my parents moved here in the 60s, so they probably just missed that dish being invented. And then we just tried it, and then we've had people from the Bicol area come to our truck, you know, just happen to be in town, and like, oh, that's where I'm from. And tell us that it's, like, the most authentic Bicol Express they've had since they've been home.
Oh, wow.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
great. And that's something that, like, just studying the recipe and understanding where it comes from and then getting that validation. We're like, okay, it gives me, like, confidence. You know what I mean? Because learning Filipino food or any style of food when you're not familiar with it is super intimidating, you know, especially when you're cooking for Filipinos.
Yeah.
It'd be, it's the same with Italian food or whatever. Like, if I'm going to cook for you, you know, and you've never had Chinese food, I'm gonna be like, okay, well, you don't know what you're getting yourself into, so you're not going to be too critical. It's right. Way less stressful. If you're like, you know, what specific brand of black pepper are you using? Like, this kind? We're like, oh, that's good. You know, it's intimidating for sure, but it's awesome because 9 times out of 10, they're like, you know, good job. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's different, but I like it. Like, it's not, it's not like, this is bullshit. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I've had some of, you know, older Filipinos, you know, who are, it seems like the older generation can be more critical because they're looking for that taste of home that they're missing. And the younger generation seems to be more open-minded. You know, they're more adventurous. They're more food-aware. People are, you know, watching, you know, 3 different food networks of cooking shows, and they're just more savvy about it, and they're more open-minded. But the older, whenever we get the older generation, it's like 9 out of 10 times, even if they're like they have their arms crossed and their eyebrow raised at us, by the end of the meal, they're like, it was different, but you still stayed true to the flavor, and it was still there. Like, you still get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's all we're trying to do is just, like, because we want to have that creativity to be able to express ourselves in other ways. Like, it starts with Filipino food, but it also, you know, like, if you look at our, you know, menu, you'll see things that are just, like, very influenced by, like, our Midwestern upbringing. So
you guys had the truck, what, like, 5 years or so?
Yeah.
And so the truck's still going.
Yes.
But, and so you guys were about 5 years before you opened up the
On the four-year anniversary, almost to the date,
we opened
the brick and mortar restaurant by complete coincidence.
Yeah,
yeah, but it was like the day after our four-year anniversary or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, with this, things are going good with the truck, and you decide this is the next progression.
Yeah, that was always the idea. It was to open up a restaurant, but it was always like, okay, we're going to start a food truck. Our dream made that dream happen, maintaining it or whatever, and then we're like, okay, our goal is to open up a restaurant, still have the truck, and then kind of like decide how to expand from there. You know,
yeah, it was always supposed to work in conjunction with each other. It's almost like. You have the restaurant, so that you have the ability to do more things, and then you have the truck, which almost serve like a symbiotic relationship,
yeah.
Where they're like one's advertising for the other, and vice versa. People who can't make it to South Grand, South City, you know, our truck goes out in the county, our truck goes to St. Charles, our truck goes to Illinois to Scott Air Force Base. I mean, we try to go within reason to as many different counties and municipalities as we can.
Right, so. And one of the biggest problems with the food truck is the commissary. And for us, that's been one of our biggest struggles since we've been open is, okay, we need to find a professional commercial kitchen that we can work out of that we won't be in the way, but will let us use their equipment and their storage and, you know, and be able to prep there and clean our dishes and whatnot, but then, you know, not step on any toes and try to be, like, as, like little ninjas as possible, just be, like, invisible.
Right.
While... you know, being able to have a regular truck service, and so we would do that, and then we would probably wear out our welcome a little bit, or for whatever reason it just wasn't working out, and so we would move to a new commissary, and so mainly that's the function of the restaurant. Was like, okay, this is stupid. Like, we need to get our own place so we're not in anybody's way. It's all our space, and while everybody's been great along the way, we've gone through like 15 commissaries and. 4 years, you know, so that's a lot of favors that we called in going, hey, you know, can you guys only serve dinner? Can we come in there and prep during the day? And they're like, okay. You know, we work out a rent and that was that. So that got old.
Yeah.
Super old.
Yeah.
And when we wanted to, and when it came to the question of like, do we want to open up a second food truck? It's like, what are we going to do? Go to two different commissaries? Because going to one restaurant for two food trucks, like that would be really... asking way too much.
Yeah.
So we were like, now we're going to have to pay rent at two different commissaries, at two different restaurants. Like, it's going to be a nightmare. So let's build a restaurant first before we even think about getting that second food truck. And then that way we'll be our own commissary. And so it just made sense, like, from all angles to do it that way. And that's kind of been, like, what we wanted to do, like, if we expanded to other, which we want to do and which we're, you know, in the process of doing, open up in other cities, and we want to have, like, a food truck and a restaurant work in conjunction with each other.
Yeah.
You know.
That's cool.
And that's just a kind of a organic way to expand, which is why it's taken us so long to get to this point. You know, there's other... trucks in town that started up at trucks that have restaurants like a couple of years before us, they're doing well, you know, but for us it needed the wait this long, and then we expanded when we were ready, and it's going to be the same thing this next expansion.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's, we also, part of that has to do with the fact that we're both very, very careful and cautious about, like, we built our food truck and we built our restaurant without taking out, like, any loans or getting any outside investors or anything, like, up to this point. I'm not saying we're closed-minded to that, but at the beginning, being, like, young entrepreneurs who didn't really kind of know, and we were a little apprehensive and maybe a little bit overcautious, we just didn't want to owe anyone money. We wanted to own everything ourselves and have complete 100% creative control.
Yeah, because if we screwed it up,
right.
Oh, well, we have to answer to ourselves. We don't have a bank going, oh, sorry, we're going to take your house.
Right.
Or something like
that. Right. So, like, up to this point, we just did it. Yeah. So that kind of made it probably a little bit, took us a little more time. But what's great about it is that we had 4 years to build our fan base.
Sure.
So when we opened the doors on July 21st of last year, we were busy from the jump.
Well, yeah, we had, like, over 20,000 followers.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to go, hey guys, restaurant opens on this day. Like, we're good to go. Let's get started. And we had like a line out the door the very first day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
So it was nice that it worked out that way. So.
Sure. Is that, you know, I was thinking about the truck, is that like pretty good competition? Or, I mean, is it like when you guys, you know, you see all the other trucks out there, like you're saying, there's like over 70 now in town. And like, I mean, is that you guys look at it as like a competition, or is it like everybody supportive? Or
everyone's supportive of each other.
It's supportive, but I mean, there is a little competition there. But
healthy though.
Yeah, it's. I think it's raising people's games. Like we maintain a level of quality, and we are consistently busy. That I think other trucks kind of go, okay, well, if I'm not like this, then why bother? You know, so that's a good thing. Like we're friends with as many food trucks as we can be. You know what I mean? And we're super like we'll help each other out. Like you want to take my spot at this location?
Yeah, like I we'll get called to do jobs or whatever, and we'll be like, we can't handle that, but let me give you the number of so-and-so, or I'll give a call up to one of the other food trucks and be like, hey, there's this event that they're having at this microbrew, but we can't do it. Do you guys want to do it? So we try to throw each other work, you know, when we can and stuff
right.
like that.
I mean,
so.
And that's like a testament to, like, the attitude of St. Louis restaurant industry in general.
Absolutely.
Promoting each other and supporting each other. Cause, I mean,
collaborating with each other.
There's plenty of business for everybody, and especially within the food truck community. I mean, 70 trucks sounds like a lot. It's a lot of growth, but in the grand scheme of things, I mean, there's thousands of restaurants, so a food truck, there's room to grow, you know.
Yeah, I do like seeing, you're saying these, like, you know, collaborations and stuff. Like, I know there's a Sugar Fire out by my house, and, like, they did a thing with the salsa once, and then they also did, like, a pizza with Emo's where they made, like, the Big Muddy Pizza.
And, oh, right.
That was pretty good.
Right.
And then, like, Steve's Hot Dogs did a thing a little bit ago with, like, Dogtown Pizza.
Right.
We try to do as many that as possible. Yeah. We've done with Brasserie. We've done
33 Wine Bar.
33 Wine Bar.
Civil Life Brewing.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, but we've done, Elements out. We did a pop-up, you know, we did a Robust Wine Bar, we did the Food Truck Collision with them. So there's definitely like Quee from Miley, when he's opening that new ramen place, he had a pop-up at our restaurant. So we're always trying to help each other out, and like we're all, you know, in this together. We're all, as far as independent business owners, we're all kind of trying to help each other, you know, live the dream.
And honestly, I mean, there's a lot of good reasons behind it, but it's also just super fun to, like, kind of do something else, even if something small, just for a day, like a special sandwich collaboration with somebody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, and then we'll donate it to charity, and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
So it's a good time. So.
Yeah, very cool. Like you say, we are here at Civil Life. You guys have a Gorilla Street Brew I found out about today. So.
Oh, yeah.
So you guys, along with selling it here, you are now selling it
at the restaurant.
The restaurant too.
Yeah, we got our liquor license a couple months ago. It's not a full bar menu, but we try to cover all bases. And so we knew once we applied for our liquor license, we knew that we wanted to collaborate with a local microbrew, and Civil Life just made sense because we're in the same neighborhood. It's like we're neighbors, basically. Yeah. So let's start there.
I live a block away, you know. And Jake is a great guy. All of his employees are super nice and knowledgeable. And so we had a meeting with him. We're like, hey, you know, can we do a beer with you guys? And he's like, yeah, let's do a beer. So. He brought his whole staff to the restaurant. They ate a bunch of food, kind of brainstormed, did a little research on Filipino beer in general. We're like, okay, well, this is the best beer thing we can produce for you guys. And a couple months later, like right after we got our liquor license, the beer's available. And great.
It's been selling really well, both here at Civil Life and at the restaurant, so it's good to hear. It's a good summer beer. It's a blonde ale. And we'll probably do stuff with different things in the future, but we knew we wanted to do that. St. Louis is such a big beer town. There's so many great microbrews here, and it just made sense. We also had to carry San Miguel, which is the iconic Filipino beer, so we offer that as well in the bottle.
But they're totally different styles. The Civil Life is like a blonde ale, and then San Miguel is like a pilsner. So, you know, there's still a reason to have two beers, but that's it. Like, there's no other choices.
Yeah.
We have three kinds of wine. We have one cocktail we serve at a time. And then we have our spirit of the week that we can spike our homemade drinks with. And
Yeah, so since we started the food truck, you know, we've had these house-made drinks. We make, like, a Filipino lime, limeade out of Filipino limes, and we make a tropical kind of punch blend that has, like, blackcurrant juice and pineapple juice and coconut milk that are super popular in and of themselves. But since the beginning, people have, like, this...
You got any drink with some vodka?
Yeah, you got any rum that you could put in this? And it was always kind of a thing. And
we're like, no, we don't have that. No.
So when so when we knew we were getting our liquor license, that was like the first thing. We were like, spike the drinks that we already make. That's a no-brainer. Like, we don't have to do anything extra. We already have these three drinks available. So we have the limeade, we have the tropical punch, and then we also do a hibiscus iced tea. And then, yeah, we just change the spirit that you can spike it with. And then every once in a while, and people come in and they get like a shot of rum or a shot of gin, depending on what the thing is. And it works perfectly. Like, our drinks are a great, like, canvas to kind of, like, do that. So, and then we also have Megan at our disposable. His fiance was the bar manager at Element and at Niche. And so we have this resource to be like, make a delicious cocktail. And so that changes, you know, pretty regularly. We've had like a Moscow Mule kind of play called the Vanilla Mule that has some Filipino twist to it in the past, and we've done like a Pina Colada. We're about to do a Pimm's Cup kind of thing, so it gives people, you know, craft cocktails are obviously very popular, so, but we're not going crazy and having a full bar.
Yeah, we just don't have the space or the money, honestly, to stock like this big wall of liquor like you would go to like, at a reputable bar.
And our restaurant isn't really that style. Our restaurant is a fast casual kind of format, so people aren't hanging out for hours drinking. It's
right. They might have maybe two drinks and to go on any other night somewhere else. So even though we do a happy hour, we try to bring in a crowd at night, a late night, but generally it's like have a beer, have your entree, and then go out.
And we've always been really popular. Like, our food truck does a lot of like beer festivals. Like, we do the Brewers Heritage Festival every year and stuff like that. So it's always made sense. And, you know, Filipinos like to drink beer. Like, it made sense. It's like, who doesn't want to have, like, an ice cold beer with their slow-roasted pork dish? You know what I mean? Like, that just makes sense. So we knew that that was kind of what we were going to go for. And when we came up with the restaurant, brick and mortar, we didn't want to change the format, like, from... You know, people are like, oh, what are you going to do at your restaurant? Brian has this background in, like, fine dining. Is it going to be a fine dining grill of street food? And it's like, a food truck is a fast, casual restaurant on wheels. It's the, you know what I mean? So why reinvent the wheel?
It's the fastest of food.
Right. So why reinvent the wheel? Let's do what we've been doing. Let's do what we got here. Down the road, if we want to do something different, that's cool, too. But for our first restaurant...
We have hype dreams of the ultra-fancy, high-end... kind of version of what we do now, but I mean that's
down the road.
We'll see what happens with that. But right now we're just loving what we do.
Right. Sure. So. We just have a first, like, one first things first. You know, it's like, let's take baby steps towards that, because like this is what got us here. So let's do that. What got us here, but then also expand on it. It's like we had, you know, like four or five things on the food truck. And let's keep that same style, that same level of price point, that same level of casualness, but then let's expand on it. Like, now we can do fried chicken, now we can do, you know, sandwiches and other things that we didn't have the capacity to do on the food truck just because you don't have the room for it.
Right.
So
you guys were you know, talking about different things you wanted to do. You guys do have like regular events going on at the restaurant. You said pig roast every Saturday.
Yeah, so we do a pig roast every Saturday. What the deal is it's called, the dish is called lechon. It's a whole pig that's spit roasted over charcoal and wood in the Philippines. It's usually served over like a celebration, like, you know, holidays or whatever, any kind of family gathering. And so we try to do it every week. We feature a farmer around town. And we try to serve it for dinner 5 o'clock on, but it takes all day to cook. So it's about a 35-pound pig, and we just kind of do whatever we want with it. Sometimes it's more traditional than others, but it's always a different way to serve it.
Yeah, it's something that, like, it's the holy grail of, like, Filipino dishes, kind of. It's, like, the most and it's a very... Like, everyone, there's a lot of cultures where you have whole spit roasted pig, but what it makes, what the signature kind of like trait of a Filipino lechon is that the skin is like so crispy, it's like breaking glass. And so that's something that isn't easy to achieve. Everyone thinks that you know, you can spit roast a pig, but it's like, to get it this style, it takes a specific kind of technique that's taken a while to kind of master, and no one else is doing that kind of thing, and we wanted to, it's something that we've been dreaming about doing since before the food truck.
It was really the original idea. When we decided that we wanted to do Filipino food, we decided that we wanted it to do lechon. And originally, the food truck, the way that we had it designed was, there was the window in the middle of the truck where you take orders, and then on either side of that window was a spit going with a pig roasting in this window.
Rotisserie style.
And we're like, oh, doesn't that sound amazing? And then quickly realized the very first time that I spit roasted a pig, I'm like, this is impossible to do on a food truck. At least right now, like, I don't know how to make that happen.
Because inexpensive.
Expensive. It just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You know, a pig takes, you know, 4 hours to cook. One service is 3 hours.
Yeah.
So there's a problem.
Right.
You know, anyway, so we were like, okay, let's just hold off on that. We'll do it this way instead, and then we'll do a lechon sometime down. I mean, if you ever Google the word lechon or Filipino pig roast, anything like that, you'll see these beautiful photos of, like, a row, a 20-foot-long fire pit with, like, 30 pigs just lined up on bamboo poles, just perfectly cooked, and you're like, that needs to be something.
Being hand rotated. Like, I've read so many secrets to how to make lechon, and there's like this many rotations per minute, and then you have to like baste it with this concoction of, like, you know, soy sauce and whatever. And so many different secrets that everyone has. Like, even doing it, since we've been doing it, so many older Filipinos have been like, you know what you gotta do is you gotta do this. And we listen to all of it. And
it's all technique, and that technique is. That's my main thing as a chef, is I'm very technique driven. I don't care about, like, what ingredient I'm using. I do care about that ingredient, but I'm really more interested in how to use that ingredient. And so technique is where it's at for me. And really, the main tip that I got was to lower the pig closer to the fire. So when I did it, I was like, oh, this skin's not getting crispy. It's not happening. And I'm like, I'm a total failure. And I was pretty bummed. And a friend of ours came out to the restaurant. First thing he said was, oh, the pig's far away from the fire. You need to bring him closer to the fire. So when I did that, he got 100% better. Like, that one tip. And he had like 30 tips for me. So,
And he'd been doing it for probably like...
Filipino man.
Yeah, like 40 or 50 years of making lechon experience, you know, over the years, so.
And then, yeah, so.
Yoda, basically, a lechon.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And so we were, like, soaking it all in, like, yes, give us all of the secrets, you know, of your experience. So that's been huge for us, and it's been great, and so. And it's been getting more and more popular, so I'm glad people are getting into it, and people are learning. You know, we have a lot of people that come by the restaurant when we're roasting the pig. Little kids and stuff will come and be like, oh my god, is that a real pig? Like, is that... And it's like, people aren't used to seeing, like, their food source, you know what I mean? Like, people aren't so used to seeing things in, like, neatly clean, like, you know, sterilized packages of, you know, like, no one knows where bacon comes from, no one knows where pulled pork comes from, you know, they never see it.
And a lot of people get really mad. They're like almost offended that, and I'm not talking about like vegetarians or vegans or anything like that. I'm just talking about people that are like happy to eat bacon, happy to eat barbecue.
Sure.
That are like, why are you making me look at this? I'm like, number one, I'm not making you look, but you should be, especially you that loves barbecue, you should be comfortable with this.
Yeah.
And it's an educational thing, and really, like, all this from head to toe is tasty.
Yeah. And we use the whole animal. It's locally sourced from local farmers. It's, you know, organic and, like, all those things that you want. You know, most of the time people are, you know, I'm curious, like, how ethical the meat that they do eat is. Like, this is the most respect we could be paying to an animal that you're going to eat, you know, other than not eating it at all.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Zero waste and...
Yes.
I mean,
I mean, like I said, the most popular part of this pig is the skin. Like, most of the time when you go to a pig roast, that skin gets thrown away.
Yeah, that skin is peeled off, thrown in the trash, and then they eat the meat.
Right. We use every single part of it. You know, he made a ramen out of it as a special one time, because we basically try to do a different special every time we roast the pig. We serve it kind of traditionally. If you just want to get it with rice, you can do that. But we try to be creative and have fun with it and do a special. And he did basically kind of like a playoff ramen. You know, and he's making pork broth, he's garnishing it with the skin, there's the pork meat in it as well. You know, I mean, there's just so... And it's just like one of those things where people are just get so detached from their food source that they're like, you know, like, it's kind of frustrating, you know. But most of the time, I would say 9 out of 10 times, people are supportive of it. Oh, and, like, little kids will come up and they'll be shocked at first, but then once you explain to them, like, hey, this part is where the bacon comes from. This part is where your barbecue comes from. Then they're like, cool. Like, they all of a sudden learn something, and they kind of
take their picture in front of it and then go in and order something.
Yeah, it's like a teaching, like, point for some people, because they're just like, hey, man, this is, you're seeing where your food comes from. It's not just coming from some, who knows, some factory farm where the trigs are treated like crap and live terrible lives, like, you know, in their own, you know, feces or whatever. Like, this is the exact opposite of that, and we're using it all and not wasting any of it. And we're supporting the local farmers
We try to keep our week interesting. Like, we want to, eventually, we'd like to do some kind of special every day. So Mondays is this, Tuesdays is that, whatever. Saturdays will be for lechon. Every third Sunday we do a brunch, which is great. We always do a new menu on brunch day. That's been, like, more and more popular as, you know, as the months go by. We've done, like, 5 or 6 brunches to this point. And
they just keep getting better and better attended and better food, too.
I mean, yeah, the food has been great. We have a new chef working for us that kind of taking over the day-to-day things and learning, because he doesn't know a ton about Filipino food. So he's where I was 5 years ago, you know what I mean? And that's exciting because he's just this fresh mind that brings a lot to the table. So he's doing brunch menus that have, like, 6 or 7 options, and this last one was incredible.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, people also, what they don't real, because when they know us from the food truck, they know that we do a lot of pork stuff, and we have the chicken adobo, but we, in the past, haven't had a ton of vegetarian stuff. We have always have had our fresh lumpia, which are the fresh spring rolls, and that's always kind of been on the food truck our vegetarian option. We do a lot of pork and stuff like that, but we also have a lot of great we have two vegetarian entrees, we have a couple vegetarian appetizers, a couple vegetarian sides. So we actually have, like, both vegans and, you know, other vegetarians that
I'd say a quarter of our menu is vegetarian right now.
Right. Yeah, and they come regularly, like, they learn very quickly, like, oh, we've got, it's not all just about pork.
Yeah.
Like, and that's something that the restaurant has allowed us to do, is to expand and diversify our menu. When you have a food truck, it's like, you got to keep it simple.
Sure.
You got to keep it streamlined. You got to be quick for people on their lunch break. But now we can kind of explore and try to round out our menu to, like, have a little bit more diversity. So that's been awesome, too. So
yeah. So you guys, the store is open, restaurant 6 days a week.
Yeah.
With the third Sunday for brunch.
Yeah. Third Sunday of every month is brunch from 9 to 2.
Yeah.
And we try to cover all bases there as well. We try to have, like, vegetarian, sweet, savory stuff. But other than that, it's Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
We open at 11 Monday through Thursday. We close at 10, but then on Friday and Saturday night, we're open until 1 a.m. Because we, like, just being in the industry, you know, you get off of work and it's like, you can only eat so much drive-through food that, you know, we were just like, we gotta try and contribute to that and do something fun and have something that's, like, affordable. You're going to spend the same amount at our restaurant on a Friday night after 10 p.m. as you are going to pay at the Jack in the Box drive-thru, but you're going to get food that's, you know, made, that's real food, and that's made with, like, care and thought and good ingredients.
Exactly, yeah. And then we guys got Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, right?
Yeah, we're on all three of those. People,
best place right now for info on us is Facebook, our Facebook page. Just because it lists our menu, we're in the middle of updating our website. Have been for a little while, so That's going to be great when it comes out, but it's not quite ready. So Facebook is the main place to go.
Yeah, and Twitter is also, if you're, you know, it's Gorilla Street on Twitter. So people sometimes struggle with the spelling of gorilla. It's G-U-E-R-R-I-L-L-A, and then street spelt out. All one word, no spaces or hyphens. But it's the two R's and the two L's that throw people off. Because I guess there's a couple, like, accepted spellings of it. So sometimes people will be like, we tried to find you on... I'm like, did you spell it?
Right.
And then the exact same handle is on Instagram, where you can see pictures of specials that we run and stuff like that. But you can see that on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I would highly encourage anybody who hasn't been to go check it out. And like I said, I love seeing you guys be successful with this, and like saying guys that are making it happen, making the dreams come true.
Thank you. So, yeah. No, it's. We're super grateful. I mean, it's sometimes we have to pinch ourselves. Like every time, you know, every once in a while, pretty regularly, I have to be like, I can't believe that this is, because it just happened all so fast. Like 5 years sounds like a long time, but I feel like it's just been like a constant whirlwind of like blessings, for lack of a better word, where we're just like, I can't believe we got this award, or I can't believe, you know, we're doing this well, or, you know, whatever it is. Like,
exactly.
We're just like, this is awesome that we can
super thankful.
Do what we love doing and get, you know, make a living off of it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's why we're always like try to be accessible to people. We always try to be interactive and stuff, because we're super grateful. Like, it's all community. I mean, that's what part of the reason why I personally got into this was, because it's like the most purest form. It's like I make this thing and then you eat it, and then if you like it, you come back. And it's like, I've worked in the corporate world for so long that there's so much bureaucracy and kind of BS that you have to like kind of deal with, and you don't even know what you're doing. You're fulfilling some other rich person's dream. It's like, this is the most basic broken down thing that you can do, is just like, I make nourishment for you and bring you happiness with a little bit of happiness with this food, and then if you like it, you come back, and then we have this relationship. And, you know, it's awesome.
I've considered going into culinary and doing something I like with it, but right there is what you're saying. Like, I like doing that, for my family and friends. Like,
I
didn't know how much I would want to do it as a career-wise. And,
absolutely.
So I do still enjoy cooking. I do a lot of barbecuing and everything.
Like, sure, yeah. I mean, and that's where it's all rooted. It's all the same kind of thing. We're just doing it on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
It's just like, kind of, anytime someone makes you, like, a dish, they're kind of like, here, this is me. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, you know, whether you're making your grandma's recipe for something that's been passed down for, or whatever, that's been passed around for generations, like, you're like, I made this with my own hands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is an expression of, like, my history and where I'm from and, you know, my expression of my creativity. Like, that's all those things in this, like, really simple thing. And that's kind of where I find our inspiration from, is just like, this is us, you know, for better or for worse, this is what we are.
Yeah.
And so it's awesome when people dig it. So.
Yeah, I appreciate that, guys. I think it's great what you guys are doing, especially, like I said, having representing Filipino food and stuff, but, you know, because like I said, we don't have a lot of it in St. Louis, so kind of paving a new way and stuff. So I think it's great, and I commend you guys for everything you've done. This is awesome. So
thank you, dude. We appreciate you having us. I dig the. I'm a huge podcast nerd, so I love that you're covering the community. Like, that's a super important part of it.
Help out.
Trying to stay on top of like the latest technologies and stuff like that. Like, that's a huge thing too. You know.
Sure.
So.
Well, kind of what you're saying about the truck and the thing, and like, I just, you know, for me, I started this like 2 years ago, just as a fan. Wanted to, you know, I figured I'd start talking to some of my friends in music and stuff, and then two years later now, like, it's crazy that where this show has taken me already, and it's like, you know, it's fun. It's exciting to see what the next thing's going to be and stuff like that. So it just keeps growing, and it's exciting to be a part of it all. So.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, I think St. Louis a lot. I think people here are just super supportive and want to root for somebody. You know?
Yeah.
They want to get behind some kind of product, and they want to, you know. So it's nice to. You know, people have been saying a lot of nice things to me and stuff, and it's just it's cool. It's very exciting to be a part of the St. Louis community. Right.
Absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like a renaissance right now, for sure.
Well, guys, I thank you so much for this. Again, come out to Gorilla Street Food over on Arsenal.
Come out to Civil Life, grab a Gorilla Street Brew. And yeah, thanks to Civil Life for letting us hang out here today. This is it's my first time in this cool spot.
Thank you, dude. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.